This is my Bible. It is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, in your Bibles, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, you'll find these words. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything. Somebody say in everything. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God's will that you give him thanks. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is going to be our second sermon in this series that we have entitled Intentionally Grateful. And grateful, we said, is being thankful for God's goodness, his help, his blessings, and his benefits. Definition two says having a heart posture of thankfulness. And three is showing appreciation and gratitude. I've said, churches, gratefulness is not a casual emotion. It is a deliberate action. See, you don't just stumble into gratefulness. You have to, on purpose, steer your heart toward it. The Bible does not tell us to feel thankful. It tells us to give thanks. That means gratitude is an act of your will. It's an act of your obedience, and it's an act of your faith. So gratitude is not something that we wait to feel. It's something that we choose to practice. See, a grateful heart gives us faith to say God has been good, God is good, and God will be good. Even when I'm experiencing some troubles, even when I'm experiencing some trials in life, I still got to believe that God is good. See, in times where we're going through changes and trials and troubles, we still must intentionally be grateful to God, not for the trials, but in the midst of the trials. Amen? I said, in the Bible or in Scripture, being grateful involves remembering what God has done. One. So sometimes we just have to sit down and remember. Think about how good God has been. Then we got to recognize his ongoing goodness. In other words, the Bible lets us know his mercies are new every morning. So therefore, I got to recognize that. And then I'm supposed to respond with praise, thanksgiving, and obedience to God. Amen? So today we're going to start in the book of Psalms. Psalms 145. And what we see here is another psalm where David prays and thanks God for his goodness. But David makes a vow that he's going to do this daily. In other words, it was going to be his daily duty to give praise and thanks to God. This passage let us know that one generation should praise and thank God for his works to another generation. In other words, we should pass on to our children about the goodness of God and talk about how mighty his works are. You know, when I saw that word, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, generations. Generation to generation. So the question is, have you passed on God's goodness and been grateful and talk about his gratefulness to your children? You know, that made me want to go back and look up. I know when I was, you know, little, and as I got older, they told me I was born in the, I think I was born in the boomer generation. I'm a baby boomer. After all the GIs came back, they was full. And their wives started having, and I was one of those babies born between, you know, 52 to 60 something. So I was born in 53. They called me a boomer. Well, I'm supposed to tell the next generation. Right. And you know, after the boomers, I guess we got all of them now. We got Generation X, Y, Z, the millennials. But all those generations need to know about the goodness of God. And it's up to the generation that's here now to share that with the next generation. If you got children and you're not sharing the goodness of God with your children, then you're not fulfilling your obligation. Oh, y'all didn't say amen right there. I mean, you got an obligation. And we need to pass that on to the next generation, because we don't know what's coming after Generation Z1 and then I guess they go back to A. I don't know where they're going next. But wherever they go next, the goodness of God going to go with them. Yeah. Amen. So look at this. What he says in Psalms 145, he said, this is a song where David says, I will extol you, my God. In other words, he's going to make a personal commitment to praise and give God thanks. I will pray. That word extol me, you're going to praise him with some enthusiasm. All right. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen. You know, we got that in our little opening. I'm enthusiastic. Well, you can't praise him without some enthusiasm.
Amen, Bob.
Amen. Amen. This ain't meditation time.
Right.
Praise time, that's different. If we want to meditate, we'll bring you a blanket. Let you do that. But when it's time to praise God, we got to praise him with some
enthusiasm.
Now, I'm not knocking meditation, but don't confuse that with because he says, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever.
Man.
That's a long time. So that means we don't take breaks when it comes to praising God.
Amen.
We have to give him thanks and praise every day. So look what he says, verse 2, every day.
In
other words, it's part of my daily duty.
Uh-huh.
When you get up in the morning, you owe God some thanks.
Amen.
You may not take but an hour, but you ought to at least give him a couple of minutes to tell him.
Amen.
Just thank you. When your feet hit the floor, you ought to be able to say,
thank.
So he says, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Then he comes back and says, great is the name, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In other words, we serve a great God. He can do great things, and he's worthy, not just a little bit of praise, but he's worthy of a great. If you're going to praise God, realize you're praising a great God, then give him a great. Can I get an amen right there? Can I get an amen? Let that shout of amen be your praise right now. Say amen.
Amen.
Just agree with the word of God right now and say we serve a great God. Therefore, he is worthy of a great
praise.
He says his greatness is unsearchable. In other words, the more we search about him, the more we find out we just don't know.
Amen.
We don't know everything about this God we serve. But what we do know about it, we ought to do wholeheartedly. And we know that he wants us to praise him. We know he wants us to give him. Because we read to you earlier that it is the will of God that we give. So therefore, since we know that we're dealing with a God who's so great and who's so powerful, who's unsearchable, we ought to at least do what we already know he wants us to do. We don't have to be deep, don't have to go to seminary. You can just read the word and it simply say, give him praise.
Amen.
He said, now look at this. Look, this is where I got that generation thing from. He says in verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to Brother JP, I don't know what generation you in. You know, you and Brother James up there. So if I'm the boomer, you had to be the generation before the boomer. Before me, but you still here.
Amen.
And you're supposed to be praising him from your generation and so the next generation can see that when you get over 90 years and you still got the activity of your limbs, your voice is still okay, at 90, I can still give him
praise.
So that someone 70 can have hope, so that someone 50 can have hope. So that someone 30 can have hope. So whatever generation you're in, you're supposed to pass that on to the next.
Amen.
One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare of your mighty works. We just got to tell our children about creation. That's enough to just let them know how good God is and how mighty he is.
Yes.
You know that there was nothing out there but void and darkness. And he spoke and light showed up.
Yes.
Not no big bang.
Uh-huh.
It was the voice.
Amen.
Your children need to have that testimony. That they understand how powerful God is. Because they heard you talk about God.
Uh-huh.
And they see you doing the things that God requires. And when they do that, then they will pass it on to your grand.
Amen.
It'll be a shame for us to raise children who don't pass on the goodness of God to your grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
If that ain't happening, you have failed your assignment. I ain't talking to y'all, I'm talking to somebody online. All y'all grandchildren, those of you who got grandchildren, some of y'all ain't got them yet. So y'all need to be focusing on y'all children.
Amen.
Let me move on. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, most of y'all know Daniel's story. Daniel was enslaved, but he found favor with King Darius. So Darius decided to elevate Daniel, made him a governor over one-third of his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Bible said Daniel distinguished himself. In other words, he stood out amongst all the other governors.
Right.
And so the king started thinking about setting Daniel over the whole realm.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, once that happened, you know, jealousy set in.
Right.
And so the other leaders decided that they was going to conspire against Daniel.
Right.
But they said they couldn't find nothing unless they were going to find something about his relationship with his God. See, because other than that, Daniel is a straight-up guy. I mean, he's been doing what the king requires. He's a good guy. But if we're going to find fault with Daniel, we got to find something that's in his laws with his God, because we know he will not violate that.
Right.
So what these guys did, they decided to get smart. They go to the king and say, look, king, why don't you pass a decree, put an edict out, that for the next 30 days, nobody can pray or praise anybody or any deity or any God other than you. You know, to an egotistic king, that sounds good. You know, everybody got to praise me for 30, just 30 days. Everybody bow down to me. But they knew Daniel wasn't going to go for that. So, but they went and got the king to sign this decree, and in accordance with their laws, once the decree was put in place, it could not be revoked. And so we see now, once they trick the king or manipulate the king into doing that because of their jealousy, it put Daniel in a tough place. In a tough place. And so what we're going to see here is that sometime when it comes to giving God thanks, you've got to have a disciplined life. You're going to have to be disciplined to do what God has called you to do, even when it may cost you something. See, Daniel was disciplined.
Yeah.
And most of us as Christians, there are some things in our lives that we need to be disciplined on. And one of those things is giving God and giving him the praise that he is due. We ought to be disciplined about that. In other words, when we're disciplined about that, then it's going to happen no matter what goes on.
All right.
Y'all better hear me today. So now look at this. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 9, it says, so King Darius signed the law. Somebody say he signed the law. You know, laws, and you know, America, they sign law. They sign stuff in the law every day.
Uh-huh.
You know, the president just sit behind it, that he wake up in the middle of the night and write something out. And he can.
Uh-huh.
All them orders. Yes. And some of those orders are good, and some of them ain't so good.
Amen.
And so sometimes, as Christians, we got to weigh the law.
Right.
And say, is this something that lines up with God's law, or is this something that lines up with man's? Because we got to have that Daniel spirit.
Right.
I will obey any law of this land, but if it violates God's law, then I got to draw a line.
All right.
I know y'all don't want to hear that today, do you? So this is what Daniel had a dilemma. The law has been put in place. Now he got to make up in his mind what he's going to do.
Right.
So now look at this. Verse 9 says, so King Darius signed the law. Somebody say the law. And then he says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down at, somebody say, as usual. When I had to stop right there, just that as usual. See, some of y'all need to get an as Thanksgiving life. So it becomes routine. You discipline yourself so it becomes as. That means that I do it often, I do it every day, and I probably do it at the same time. As, even though the king put a law in effect to say I can't do it, I'm going to do it as. I'm going to be strong enough and spiritually minded enough to do it in spite of what the king said. Because I know who I serve, so therefore I have been doing this on an ongoing basis, so therefore I'm not going to be interrupted by a corrupt law. Oh, Lord. Y'all Google your phones. Stay with me. Y'all stay with me. Help me out right here, because you know Daniel, Daniel was a complicated guy, because a lot of times folk wouldn't have done that. But he says he learned that the law had been signed. He went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room, with his windows open towards you. In other words, I ain't even high. That would have been a good time to come up with the prayer closet. I'm going to just go head over into my prayer closet and just me and the law. Daddy said, no, I'm going to open it. Because that's what I normally do, and I'm not going to change it because the law has changed. I'm going to do what I normally, I'm going to open the window, I'm going to look toward Jerusalem, because they thought that's what, because the temple was there, they thought the presence of God was there. But we don't look to Jerusalem. We look up instead of looking east or west. We look up because we know heaven is above, so therefore we look to the home of God. And Daniel was just looking toward Jerusalem, that was his custom. But he did that often, and he did that in spite of the law. So look at this. He says he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. I know he wasn't thanking God that he was about to be thrown in the lion's den. I'm sure he said, God, I'm glad that you got me going to this line. And I'm saying, God, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to thank you, even though I know the end result's going to be the lion's den. I'm going to stand on your side, even though the lions are waiting on me, because I'm going to believe that if I pray to you long enough and I praise you long enough, when I need your help, you're going to. And even if you don't, I'm going to still praise. Because I'm going to give you thanks that you deserve. Now look at this. It says the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking God for help. You know, I can imagine Daniel knew some of the Psalms. You know, I could imagine during that time he would say, I look to the hills from which comes my help. Come from the Lord who created heaven. Look, he won't suffer my foot to be. Sometimes you got to know where your help comes from. And every now and then you got to know how to look to the source and stop looking at your problem. You got to call on the God who can help you, the God who can deliver you. You got to know where your help. Daniel knew where his help come from, because he started praying and asking God for help. There's nothing wrong with you asking God for help in your time of trouble and your time of need. But it's all right to ask him for, you know, to praise him and give him thanks even when you don't need his help. Amen. Amen. Everybody want to call on him when they need help. But will you praise him when everything's going good in your life? Will you give him thanks? You know, when you feel like things ain't going your way. So Daniel had a custom to doing this. And he was calling on God and asking for help. Now look at what happened when the fellows are. So they went straight to the king, verse 12, and reminded him about this law. You know, they just playing mind games with the king. Did you not sign a law? You know kind of how that folk come in a roundabout way. I guess they would call it a little manipulation that we were talking about today. They were just manipulating the king. You know, folks, you just got to be careful. Because folk will come around you and start talking to you about some stuff, and their motives ain't pure. But that ain't what I want to talk about right now. The Spirit just dropped that, but that ain't what I want to talk about. But since they in the story, I might as well talk about them just a little bit. He says, did you not sign a law for the next 30 days? Any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den, the den of lions. Then the king replied, yes, that decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and the Persians and cannot be revoked. Now, look what they do. You know, Adrian, you know when folk don't like you, they use little way of saying things. See, when you read this, you got to read every word. Look how folk can talk about you when they don't like you. And they can make you think it don't sound bad. But if you don't understand the context of folks' language, you know, people can be dogging you out and you standing there smiling. Because they be using words that we're familiar with. But you got to know what context are they using those. Can I make this play for y'all? So just look at verse 13. Then they told the king, that man. That's an insult right there. You know, that man. That man. You know that one. You know what I'm going to say? That Negro.
That's right. Come on, pal.
Because at that time, Daniel was a slave. Uh-huh. And they're putting him in his... Letting you know that I have a loaded God for you.
Right.
That man. Yeah. I know y'all don't want to hear that today, but that's just the truth. See, Daniel, you know, he wasn't one of them.
That's right.
And so therefore, because of that, they was a little bit prejudiced against.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That man.
Yeah.
You know, it could have just said Marvin.
Uh-huh.
That Marvin.
Yeah.
Why it got to be that? That man, Daniel. Y'all didn't know that was like that, did y'all? Let me make it even more plain for you. The one of the captives from Judah is ignoring you and your law. Get this. They understood what he was doing. He still prays to his God three times a day. That's man, you know when your enemy acknowledges what you're doing for God, you doing something right. Amen. When the enemy got to go and let folks know that you doing something right for God, look here, you in good territory. Every now and then, you shouldn't be upset when the enemy go and tell on you to somebody in authority.
Go ahead.
Because you know you're doing things that God would require of you. And so sometimes when you do things that God requires of you, you're going to always pick up some enemy. These folks had a problem with Daniel because he was a Jew.
Uh-huh.
And he over here about to get some power in our kingdom.
That's right.
And he's still praying to his God and not you, king.
Uh-huh. That's right.
What you going to do about it?
Uh-huh.
You know, when you know the story, the king really, when he found out he had been duped, he didn't want to put Daniel in the lion's den. That night he went home and started praying.
Uh-huh.
But he couldn't go back on his
word.
But Daniel, in that lion's den, an angel showed up.
Uh-huh.
Daniel said, the Lord sent her and shut the mouth.
The
good God Almighty. Now, if Daniel can call on God and he shut the mouth of lions, surely you can shut the mouth of some folks that's gossiping. I'm surely, they just talking. You just need to call on the Lord and say, Lord, send an angel. And just shut their mouth. They done talked about me one too many times. Lord, I'm coming to you and say, send an angel. I want you to kill him, Lord. Don't let the angel kill him. But just let him shut their
mouth.
Y'all ought to get tired of folk talking about y'all. Sometimes y'all need to take it to the... Oh, let me move on. Jonah. In the book of Jonah, chapter 2. Here we see, and I'm going to read just 7 through 10, but here we see the prophet Jonah found himself in the belly of a big fish. We was a little boy coming up. They told us it was a whale, so we went with whale, but now Bibles have changed to a big fish. Whatever it was big enough to swallow. And if God made mountains and he created dinosaurs, sure enough, he can create a fish
big enough
to swallow somebody.
Right.
So I ain't got no problem with the story. Because sometimes when we get to stories like this in the Bible, some of y'all have problems because your intellect won't let you accept the fact that God could create something that can swallow
a man.
And a man could live down there wrapped up in the seaweed for 3 days.
Yeah. And night.
That's just a Bible story. That's like a fairy tale. No, it's the word of So what we find here is Jonah find himself in the belly of a big fish because he disobeyed God's command to go and preach a message of salvation to the wicked nation of Nineveh. You know, what we see, Jonah was kind of like a nationalist.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, he held his national pride up real high. He didn't want to go there and deal with them Ninevites. I wish I had time to look up them Ninevites and let y'all know who they were. But he didn't want to go deal with them because, you know, they weren't like him. So how in the world, God, you going to send me over there to save some folk that I don't even like? In fact, they've been persecuting us.
Right.
And now you're going to send me over there to them. So guess what? Daniel decided he wasn't going. And so when he decided he wasn't going, he found himself in a tight place. And in that tight place, he cried out to the Lord because of his affliction. In other words, he prayed and gave thanks to God, not for his affliction, but he chose to give thanks in spite of his affliction. Now, Jonah was thanking God while he was in the midst of his problem. And so what I learned from that, it is better to pray and give God thanks in your affliction than not to pray at all. Prayers born out of affliction rather than affection can still be answered by a holy and merciful God. See, some of y'all ain't going to cry out to him till you get the report. Because everything is going good right now. You ain't going to cry out.
Uh-huh.
But when you get that news that you don't want to hear,
right, in
your affliction, uh-huh, you're going to cry out. I just dropped by today to tell you, you need to start crying out before the report.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So that if the report do come, you already know who to call on.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to tell you is that Jonah found himself in a tight place. And in that tight place, he was about to give up, but he remembered who he could call on.
Yeah.
See, all this time, Jonah, everywhere he was going was down.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was supposed to go to Nineveh, but he went down to Joppa.
Uh-huh.
Then when he got on the ship, he went
down.
Then they threw him off the ship, he went
down.
Then when he ended up in the belly of the,
yeah,
he went. And it was only when he looked. So what I'm trying to tell y'all got to stop looking. Every now and then you got to look to the, you got to look up. In the midst of the seaweed, you got to look. In the midst of the intestine floating all around his head and all that stuff that he wrapped up in down there in that big. He had enough sense to look. Look at this. I'm in verse 7. What he says, he says, my soul fainted within me.
Uh-huh.
Then what happened? I remembered the Lord. I told you sometimes your thanks come from remembering,
uh-huh,
what God has done for you in the past and believing that he can do it for you now. He says, I remembered the Lord and my prayer went up to you and to your holy temple.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going down,
uh-huh,
but my prayers are going, I'm always going to be looking up because I know where my help comes from. So therefore, even though my situation got me going, I'm still looking. You got to always have an outlook that calls you to look up and not. He says, my prayers went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. In other words, people out there worshiping things that can't do anything for them, they are forsaking the mercy that has already been put in place for them. And I hope y'all are not doing that. I hope you're not there, out there worshiping something other than the true and living God and forsaking the mercy that he already has in store for you. Because we've been saying his mercies are new every. He says in verse 9, says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. In the belly of the whale, I'm going to give you thanks. And then, God, I'm going to have a moment of repentance. I'm going to make a vow. I will pay what I have vowed. Then he says, salvation is of the Lord. In other words, God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to make a vow that I'm going to Nineveh. And I'm going to go down there and preach to them Ninevites, even though they're not like me, even though they, I don't think they are worthy of your salvation. But if you get me out of this, Lord, I'm going to do what you called me to do. And every now and then, we got to come to our own mindset that we got to do what God has told us to do. We ought to learn from Jonah. We don't need to go down just to get up. We ought to start out up and then continue to go further in the Lord. Yes, it's all right to every now and then to have one of those hard luck stories, but everybody don't need a hard.
Amen.
So he says this. He says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of and I will pay what I have vowed, salvation to the Lord. So look at this. After Jonah made that vow and that commitment, look what happened. And this is where the folk have a problem with this, but you know, if God can tickle your throat.
Amen.
Because I know some people read that, ooh, that's so nasty. You weren't in the fish.
Right.
You weren't in the fish.
Uh-huh.
To somebody who was in the fish,
right. This
is a blessing. But all y'all sitting here, everything going good. Ooh, Jonah had, He was in all the vomit.
Yeah, yes, I was. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let me read this, man. I'm just the Bible can be fun.
Yeah.
But it can be serious at the same time. And so look at, he says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah on the dry land.
Yes.
Good God Almighty. If he can speak to nothing and make something, surely he can speak to a fish and say, ah,
yeah.
Let Jonah go.
Yeah.
He's on assignment. He got something to do for me. You know, this was so powerful that when Jesus was testifying to the Jews, he used Jonah as an example. All I'm going to give you for a sign is the sign of Jonah. He was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. The Son of Man going to be in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, but on the. So what I'm trying to tell you, if Jesus thought this was a true story, I'm going to be agree with Jesus. God told the fish, get rid of Jonah. He got an assignment. Let him go. Some of y'all are on assignment from the Lord. In order to do it, you just got to get freed up from some things that keeping you from doing what God called you to do.
Amen.
And if you need to repent, then you just repent and say, God, I'm going to do what you called me to.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. My last turn in the book of Luke. I'm going to close with this awesome example of someone giving thanks to the Lord for what he has done. Here we find Jesus traveling along the border between Galilee and Samaria. Some of y'all know how those relationships run along those border countries and both border nations. You know, borders can be tough. You know, even in states, you got borders. You know, you go up to Florala, kind of let you know you're on the border of Florida and Alabama. And one step across the line, You know, if the people in Alabama don't like you, yeah, you go back to Florida.
Right.
Amen. That's if you're living on the border. You want to be on a border where your friends were for. Amen. And, but here, that wasn't the case.
Right.
So what you need to see here is that Jesus was traveling in a border town. And as he was traveling along the border between Galilee and Samaria, Galilee was Jewish, and Samaria was occupied by the Samaritans, who the Jews despised.
Right.
And they considered the Samaritans half-breeds.
Right.
Yeah, so you know, they would look down on. Mm-hmm. You know, and I want you to see what happened when Jesus has this powerful and insightful encounter with these 10 lepers. Because this is an awesome example of being intentionally grateful, and it should inspire us to be grateful to the Lord for what he has done for us. Now look at this. I'm in verse 12 of Luke chapter 17. It says, "Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers." Somebody said lepers. You know, lepers during that time, they just couldn't go around everybody. They had to be kept in colonies by themselves. And whenever they came near people, they had to shout out that they were lepers, so people would know that they were in the vicinity. And so what's unusual in this story is that we find Jewish lepers mixed with Samaritan lepers.
Come on,
I guess misery do love.
Right.
They will put aside their national differences because they were in the same
boat.
Uh-huh. They were all lepers, and they was disliked by
everybody.
So he entered, and there were 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Listen to this. I hope y'all see this shared. I hope y'all see this unified choir singing in one voice to the same source, crying out their need. Forgetting that they was different nationalities at the time, but they'll say, we got the same need. We need to be healed. And look what they said. Verse 13 said, and they, somebody said they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on." They was talking as a group, even though it was 10 different individuals. But we all in the same boat. We need the same thing. We need God's mercy to show up right now. And so therefore we go him with one voice. And sometimes we come to the house to give God praise. That means all of us is in the same boat. And we finna all give God praise at the same
time.
When we cry out in unison and say, shout hallelujah, that means that the whole house that got voice, shout hallelujah. Because therefore, we understand we're on the same team now, serving the same God. So therefore, we know it's his will that we give him praise. So when the pastor or preacher or teacher say, give the Lord a hand clap of praise, don't you sit down.
Come on.
How you doing telling me to give a hand clap? Because you're on the team.
Amen.
We're serving the same Lord.
Yeah.
And if these 10 guys can come and recognize who he is, surely we should. So look what they lifted their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us."
Yeah.
Now look at this. So when he saw them, his faith, when he responded to their faith, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." He didn't touch them, didn't do no long prayer. He just said, "Go." And on that command, those 10 lepers, because they had a need. Now, nobody gonna stand there and get bold right now, man. I've been dealing with this leprosy thing for years. And say, now you can heal me. I ain't got no. You say go, I'm on.
Go.
What you gonna do when I get you just
go.
Sometimes we don't go because we want to know too much.
Uh-huh.
You already know you got an issue. You got a problem. You've been dealing with it all this time now.
Go.
But Lord, what you gonna now? Yes. I need you to start walking in a direction, because until you do that, I ain't going to do nothing else for you.
Uh-huh.
But once you start.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord. Go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible said, and so it was, as they
went,
they were cleansed.
Uh-huh.
So that leads me to believe they had stood there, nothing would have happened.
Right.
But by them being obedient and walking out in faith, what they was hoping for happened on their
way.
Wow. Now look at this. Then one of them, somebody said one of them. Now all of them probably knew they was here.
Uh-huh.
But only
one.
See, all y'all know you're saved.
Uh-huh.
But if I said praise the Lord right now, probably maybe only
one. Come on, Bob.
But if I can get everybody to see themselves as that
one,
then everybody will pray. All I'm looking for is just
one.
Don't you be denying.
Come on.
See, if I look at this from a mathematics standpoint, Brother Will, is he still in here, a math teacher, Brother Mo? That means that if we got 150 folk in here,
uh-huh,
one out of 10 is
10%.
Yeah. So if I say give the Lord praise,
15
of y'all ought to jump up.
Amen.
Just by math. But I want to use some further math.
Come on.
And just deal with one of y'all at a
time.
And just ask the question, will you be that?
One.
I don't care about the other nine. I just want you to be that.
One.
See, because if I deal with the other nine, you know, or the other 10, all 10 of y'all together, you know, 135 are getting let off the hook. Because 10 of y'all ready to praise.
Yeah. He's good.
The others are kind of sitting back. They need a little motivation.
Uh-huh.
And so what I'm doing now is building you up,
right,
to motivate you to do something you ought to do in it.
Anyway. Yes.
So I'm going to just ask the question, will you be that?
One.
Forget about your neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Forget about the person behind you.
That's
will
one.
You be that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think y'all getting the picture now. He said, now look at this, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a
loud.
What does a loud voice sound like?
Woo!
Yeah, can I get each one of y'all to give me a version of what a loud voice sounds like in your own way? I just want to know what a loud voice sounds like. That's the difference when I'm talking like this. And when I'm talking about what a loud voice sound. The Bible didn't have to tell us. They could have just said he came back and said thank you. But the Bible said he came back and with a loud voice glorified. You know, Sister Mary, I think your Bulldogs won this week, didn't they? Loud boy. And I know last night Latham, he ain't even here, but I know with a loud.
Uh-huh.
When that boy fumbled that last ball and Alabama got the ball back. The whole state of North Alabama, the northern part of Alabama was shouting with a
loud
voice.
Uh-huh.
And all I'm asking you to do is shout with a loud voice for the one who saved you. For the one who delivered you, for the one who set you free. And I'm just asking for a loud voice. Can I get a loud hallelujah? Can I get a hallelujah? Glory be to God. Well, man, you ought to thank God that you still got voice, that you can still talk, that you can still make a sound, that you can still give God a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm not asking you to, you know, to shout on key. I'm not asking for a B flat shout or a C shout or a D flat shout. I'm just asking for a loud
shout.
You could be out of tune, but as long as you ain't that one, you're going to be all. Can I get one more loud hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Come on, we can do better than that.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So he said, now look, and the Bible was clear that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And look what he did. he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And the Bible went out of its way to say he was a
Samaritan.
Yeah, he was that guy. He was that guy. The guy that you wouldn't even expect to come back to say thank you. Because he was, you know, he going to go back and say thank you and bow down to this Jewish guy who just healed him. But he had enough in his heart to go back and bow down and say thank you.
Thank
Whereas the other 10 folk who was Jews, probably like Jesus, felt we, you know, we privileged. He should have did that for us. So I just dropped by to tell you, don't get to the point where you're too proud to tell God. You be that one that go back. You be the one that go back and say, God, I thank you for healing me. Even though it was 10 other folks in here with the same thing, you be the one to go back and say, don't hurt to say thank you. And I'm telling you, the Bible went out of the way to let us know that he was. It just could have said just one of them came back. And we would have been happy. But it made us understand it was that Samaritan. I guess turnabout is fair play. You know, Daniel was that Daniel. Now this is that. And look at this, I'm done. He says, and so Jesus answered and said, you know, Jesus asked the question, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Boy, I would hate for him to be saying that. Where's Larry? I use my own name because I started to call some of y'all name, but I don't want y'all to get mad at me, but I just use my name. You know, Anthony, you went back and told Jesus thank you. And he said, we're bold. Didn't I hear
him too.
Bolden ought to be ashamed of himself for not coming back and saying
thank you.
You know how many of you have walked away from people who've done something nice for you and you don't even say
thank you.
And then when you do something nice for someone, in our hearts, we expect a little. And sometimes if they don't say thank you, we don't say nothing, but we do think something. Sometimes you do, I just did that, it should have been. No, if your heart was right, you want to do it whether they thank you. But when the Lord do something for you, man, it's not too much for you to tell him. If this Samaritan, who didn't even know the true and living God at the time, could have enough sense to go back and say, thank you, then I'm sure that we can do it also.
Amen.
He says, now I'm going to read verse 18 again, then close. He says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, talking to the foreigner, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And when we look at that from a spiritual standpoint, it's our faith that has made us well when it comes to where we were spiritually before we met Jesus. And for him delivering us from all the stuff that made us sick when we were living in sin, when God healed us from that through the blood of Jesus, then now we ought to tell him. This is where you remember of what you were like when you were down in the mud and the mire and the muck. When, you know, like I told you last week, some of y'all were just good sinners, but you were still a sinner. You know, you just had a bad attitude and you were snooty and snotty. You didn't cuss folk out and you weren't sleeping around, so you thought you had a good track record. I ain't like them. I ain't that bad, you know. She's sleeping around, he getting drunk, this one doing all that. But you just so stuck on you.
Come on, pal. They know it's still in there.
So stuck on you. And you think God gonna look past that?
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to tell you, all of us should give thanks to God for saving us, no matter where he found us. Amen. He found some of us in a nice neighborhood. He found some of us in the hood. And so therefore, we should all give him. We all owe him a debt of gratitude. Because when Jesus died, he died for the whole world. Rich, white, black, white, don't rich, poor, black, white, it don't make no difference. He died. And so therefore we come to just say,
thank you.
Thank you. So I close by asking the question, will you be that
one?
Will you be the one? Will you be the one? Will you be that one that give him thanks? Will you be the one that give him praise? Will you be the one that just tell him, thank you for delivering me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. I can't speak for what you've done for everybody else, but I can speak for what you've done for me. And I want to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.